First Timothy chapter 4. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, I thank you that your forgiveness is real. Lord, as Brother Ed demonstrated earlier, Lord, I thank you for that forgiveness that you give. That you can wash us clean, and no matter what we've done and how bad we think it is, your forgiveness is real. And Lord, I pray that you would do just that. I pray you'd forgive us for all of our sins. Smallest to the biggest, forgive us for all of our sins. Protect us. I pray that you'd help our mindset. I pray we'd be in awe of you and humble and reverent before you. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be open to your word, and you'd open our eyes and our hearts and unstop our ears, that we would allow you to move in our lives and grow us and take us deeper. I pray you'd help us to rightly divide it. I pray you'd help us to keep it in context. I pray you would use it to mold and shape and change us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been talking about 1 Timothy, talking earlier this morning. You know, 1 Timothy isn't light. Revelations wasn't light. Heavy stuff. What's going on here is God's writing through Paul to Timothy, continuing to disciple Timothy up, continue to teach Timothy. And Timothy was told to, he was a young man, he was told to stand solid in Ephesus and help get the church back on track because the church was facing false teachers. There were false teachers. There's people trying to lead it astray. And they were called to, he was called to get it back on track, make sure they were teaching sound doctrine, make sure they were preaching the gospel, make sure that they were fighting the good fight. We talked about the deacons and the elders and some of the roles that they have. He's trying to get this church back on track. Chapter 4, he's continuing on to disciple Timothy up to guide him and give him instructions. He says this, "The Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons." I want to take our time and break this down. I believe what we're going through, what we're studying is like I said, it's not always light and fluffy. It's deeper, and it takes effort. It takes patience, and I appreciate your patience as we go through this and we dig through this. It's not a fast journey, but I don't know that it has to be fast. I believe it's to mature us and to grow us. So the Spirit, that is who? Whom? It's the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is God. So God says this. This is God speaking. Now we know that all Scripture is inspired, that God spoke it all, that it's from him, that no prophet spoke, carried along by his own will, his own desire, right? That what they wrote, what the writers wrote was inspired by God. But this he is being very clear on. He's saying, hey, get this. This isn't just my opinion. This isn't what I think. This was clearly stated. This is from God, and you need to grasp this concept. The Spirit clearly says, no gray area, it is not fuzzy, it is not unsure, it is in specific terms, plain words, this is what's being said, that in later times, sometimes when you read that, your mind might flip from in later times to in the last days. I don't believe that's what he's saying here. Last days would be right before like the return of Christ. This is in later times. If you check it out, it actually means just a little later on, not far out from here. So it started to happen pretty quick after the church was developed and started, and it's continued on for a long time. After the church got started and the truth was set and people were growing in it, it didn't take long before false started to try to come in and pull people away. Right? False teachers started to follow. It wasn't too late long the Gnostics came in and people came in and tried to lead people astray, pull people off. The Spirit clearly says in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits. Abandon, it comes from the Greek word apostasia, is how I pronounce it. It's where we get the word apostasy. It's to fall away, it's to depart from the faith, is what he's talking about. And listen, it's not because of ignorance. It's not because of a lack of knowledge. That's not what he's talking about. It's not that they're leaving because they're ignorant. It's not because they're leaving because of a lack of knowledge. It's a deliberate rejection of the basic doctrines. That's what's going on here. It's a deliberate rejection of the basic knowledge or the basic doctrines of Scripture. They're rejecting the Word. They're rejecting God. And that's what's going on. He said, later times, some are going to abandon. They're going to leave. They're going to fall away. They're going to wander from the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Listen, there are a lot of people who believe a lot of things. There are a lot of people who have faith in a lot of things. But I'm flat out, there's only one faith that saves your soul. There's only one true faith. It's Jesus Christ. The road to destruction is broad. The way to heaven, the way to life is narrow, and it's only through Christ. Amen? Amen. So what Timothy's job was to do, what Paul's trying to have Timothy do, or God through Paul is having Timothy do, is to make sure that they're on the right path. They're not getting pulled side to side. They're not going down that broad road to destruction. They're on a narrow path following Jesus Christ. It's not by works. It's by grace. We know that, right? You're not saved by your works. You're saved by accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But as his people, we're to follow him and be obedient to him, not because it saves our soul, but because we love him. But what was happening is people were starting to follow deceiving spirits, demons, lies taught by demons. It reminds me that our battle is not flesh and blood. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the rules and principalities and authorities. It's against the darkness, right? It's against Satan and his demons. That's the battle. Now, he uses people as pawns. But our battle is against the enemy, and it's not that they don't always show their face and come out and say, okay, I'm with Satan, I'm the enemy. That's not how it always goes down. It sometimes can be gray, it can be fuzzy, and people get confused, and they get pulled off. Sometimes they come out proclaiming they're for God when they're really following the enemy. That's what's going on here. These people aren't coming out saying, have a shirt on that says, hey, I'm following Satan and demons. They would be professing Christians. These would be people in the church.
It's not always blatant. Sometimes they work more by seducing and deceiving and luring and enticing and charming, persuading and deluding. Sometimes it's more masquerading. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting at verse 13, says, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen. They're false apostles. They're saying that they're apostles, but they're not. They're false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ. They're saying that they're apostles of Christ. They're saying that they're walking for Jesus. They're proclaiming that they're preachers of the word, but they're not. They're false. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light, right? He doesn't always come with scary horns and a pitchfork. Sometimes he comes in like an angel of light. Why would he come in like an angel of light? Why? To deceive, to trick, to pull. He doesn't always want you to be able to see. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He wants to gradually pull you away. It's the slippery slopes and the slow fades. It's just a little bit of twisting here and a little bit of twisting there. You know, cults could have 70% of the truth. Couldn't they? Just twist another 30% and you're in trouble. Just because you hold the Bible, I say it all the time, you're sick of hearing it. Just because you hold the Bible doesn't mean you're right. If you take it out of context, I can make it say anything I want. You've got to leave it in context. If you leave it in context and leave it say what it says, then it's the Word of God. If you leave it in context and it says what it says, then it's absolute truth. Then it's the foundation. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. They're going to get what they deserve, but they're masquerading. False teachers are real, even in Mayberry, Ohio. They're false teachers. Goes on to say, such teaching comes through hypocritical liars. They're lying because they're teaching things contrary to Scripture. My understanding from some of what I've been studying and reading, it's pretty plain here that he's saying that if you're teaching anything that's contrary to Scripture, it's a lie. We know that because the Scripture is truth. So if you're teaching anything contrary to the truth, it's a lie. Why would he say they're hypocritical? Why are they hypocritical liars? Because they know what they're doing. They're saying that they're a preacher of the word, a minister of the word, an overseer of the word. They're saying that they're an apostle of the word, but they knowingly are twisting the word to say what they want it to say. They're knowingly twisting the word, and they're a hypocritical liar. They know what they're doing, and they're twisting it anyhow, and some are proud to do it. Some say, look, I can change this to say this, and look how inspired and bright and wonderful I am. How I don't have to believe the Bible literally. I can twist it this way because I'm so spiritually enlightened. Look how smart I am. And so I don't have to believe it literally or in context. I can twist it to say this, and then you can follow me and still do what you want to do. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose conscience have been seared as with a hot iron. Have you ever seen anything branded, cauterized? It's a burning, and it deadens the skin, and it deadens the flesh. It cauterizes it, burns it. You can do that with your conscience. First thing we need to do is talk about a conscience. A conscience is, as Harold Martin would say, he says it like this, it's a faculty within us which demands that we do what is right and shun the wrong. That's how he defines it. The faculty inside of us that demands that we do what is right and shun the wrong. But listen, the conscience is set on the standard. They're set on different standards. Okay? You got to catch this. So, some of the ones I was reading said this. If your conscience is set on the standard of the world, then it would be based off of what society would say, right? So that's what your conscience is based off of. The one commentary said, if you're a Roman Catholic, and then your conscience would be based a lot off of what the Pope says and off of their traditions, right? If it's based off of the Word, then it should be based off, if the Word's in context, truth. Does that make sense? So just because you have a conscience, it depends what the standards you set it at. Standard of the world or standard of God. Right? It's not light and fluffy. I know there's no fireworks going off, but it's stuff that we need to get. Listen to me. There are false teachers. People get pulled away, but not sometimes pulled away from the church because of outside stuff. But sometimes they get pulled away from inside stuff. False teachers in the church. I think that there are false teachers in churches. I think sometimes there are false pastors, false leaders. I think there are sometimes false leaders in seminaries and in universities who deliberately twist the word to say what they want it to say. So this stuff is huge to me. I know that sometimes you get tired of hearing it, but this is what Paul is dealing with in 1 Timothy. He's saying, you need to know this because it happens. You need to know it. Your children need to know it. Your grandchildren need to know it so that they're solid in the Word. They're not going off of warm fuzzies. They're not being manipulated because people manipulate your emotions. You know that. We've said this so many times. You're sick of hearing it. Your emotions get manipulated. They get played. It's got to be something more solid than that. That's what he's saying. You can't just believe these people because they have titles after their name or because they get to stand up front. Don't believe me if you don't want to believe me. Believe the Word. That's all I'm asking you to do. Don't believe me. I might be crazy. Believe the Word. See what it says in context. That's what you believe. That's what you believe. So their conscience gets seared. If you do something that's wrong, if you sin, don't raise your hand or point at anybody or anything like that, but if you sin, and when you sin and you do something wrong, if you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and the Holy Spirit's in you, He convicts you of the sin. Right? So you're convicted of the sin, and you knew it was wrong, but then you do it again, and you justify it, and you do it again, and you justify it, and you do it again, and you justify it, and it gets a little easier and a little easier because you keep justifying it, keep justifying it. What are you doing? You're starting to sear your conscience, so now it is not a true guide. You can't follow your conscience anymore. It's been messed up. The GPS in your conscience is all messed up now because you seared it. Because you want to do what you want to do, so you keep pushing the Holy Spirit away, which is different than your conscience. Please, I'm not trying to put them together. There's different things there. Please understand that. But the Holy Spirit speaks to us, and we keep pushing Him away, and we don't want to listen to our own conscience. We want to push it away. We continue to sear it, so we do what we want. We justify our sin. And so you continue to burn it off, block it off, so we can do what we want, get our own pleasure, and believe that it's okay when really we know it's not. He's saying that that's what these guys have done. They have seared their conscience so that they can continue to tell a lie that they know is wrong, even inside the church. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose conscience have been seared as with a hot iron. Here's examples. Here comes the examples. He gives us two. They forbid people to marry in order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. Okay. Because of time, we aren't going to flip through and read it all. But is there a place in the Bible where Paul's talking, and if you keep it in context, I believe what he's saying, if you have the spiritual gift of celibacy, it's okay not to marry because then you can focus more of your time on God. Because if you do marry, it does take time, right? Because you're going to focus some time on God, but you also need to focus some time on your spouse and some time on your family, right? So he does say that in Scripture. But he also says if you don't have that spiritual gift, don't do it because you're going to burn with lust, with passion, right? Right. So you can see where somebody would take this and twist it. Now, these people are saying, and what's going on here is this. They believe that this is where Gnosticism started or might have developed out of this type of thinking. But they thought this. The Gnostics believed, it's a false teaching that you see battled in the early church. Gnostics believed that the spirit is good, the flesh is bad. That's what they believed. Okay? So the Gnostics believed that the spirit is good, the flesh is bad. So there was two ways that they went about this. Some of the Gnostics would say that then you deny the flesh because it's bad. So don't marry, don't eat meat, don't eat this, don't eat that. Deny the flesh because it's an evil thing. All right? And then that makes God happy. That's what they would tell people. The other side of Gnosticism is the exact opposite of that. The other side of Gnosticism, what you see is this. They say, well, the flesh is bad, but the spirit is good, same there. But they would say, since the flesh is bad, you can do anything you want in your flesh, just keep the spirit clean, you're okay. So go live however you want to live, whatever sin you want to commit, just as long as your spirit's okay, you're okay. So they were giving people a license to sin. Both of those are false teachings. Both of those are wrong. Both of those are in a church. But they could twist it from Scripture. God said this back in Genesis. The Lord said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Jesus said it was okay to get married, didn't he? I mean, it's okay to get married. God designed it. We didn't come up with it. What about the food thing? Can you see where they would take things and twist, and we have the Old Testament, but we're in a New Testament under a new covenant, and they would say, this food is not okay, and this food is not okay? Can you see them taking that and twisting it? Deny yourself, don't eat this, don't eat that. I'm so glad that they did, because I like greasy pork. Anybody else like pork? Amen. Good pork chop, bacon. I mean, wow. Anyhow, I like bacon. With me? All right. Peter, book of Acts. Peter, remember the sheet comes down, he sees the vision, right? God said it's clean, it's okay. Right? You can see in Corinthians, where Paul talks on and on about foods and foods being clean and it's okay to eat this. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 30, actually it might be 2 Corinthians, 31 and 32, I believe. But he goes on and talks about food being clean. Oh, that's why. I'm in 2 Corinthians. I was like, it's not here. There you go. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, clear down through 23 through 31, you can see it. 23 says, everything is permissible, not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. Eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience, for the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Over in 31, I'm skipping some for time. So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So when you eat, if it's done with the right heart and right attitude, it's for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God, even if as I try to please everybody in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. So what's he saying? Short and sweet. Food's okay. Now, if you're allergic to peanuts, don't eat peanuts. Okay? And he didn't say everything was healthy. You know, a pound of bacon a day might not be good for you. Right? But he's saying you don't have to. So if you want to abstain from this food because of allergies, or this food because it might not be good for your heart, or a ton of sugar is not good for you, right? It's okay. But don't say you're doing it for a spiritual reason, because it's not spiritually banned. Because God made it. And in moderation and used rightly, it's okay. With me? So the point is, if you're like, I have lost you like a long time ago, this is what's going on. God, through Paul, is teaching Timothy, and he's teaching this church, and he's saying there's false teachers, and they're coming in to lead people off and to deceive them and trick them. But do you see how close it is? How fuzzy they make it? Because they can take Scripture and say, well, you can see where this says that it's better not to marry, and twist people and pull people away. Can you see it? Oh, you probably shouldn't eat this food. They twist it. They make it become legalism. They want the people to think that they have to be legalistic to get to heaven. We don't get to heaven by legalism. We get to heaven by accepting Jesus as your Savior. We follow Him and obedient to Him because we love Him, since we've said it so many times, you know that. It's not because I work my way there. I'm there because I accept Him. I do things because I love Him. Let me finish this section up. For they forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to receive with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. Right? We are called to be thankful. Sometimes we're not as thankful because we just expect it. We're called to be thankful because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. It is consecrated by the word of God. It is approved by the word of God and blessed by prayer, covered, sanctified. So eating done with the right attitude and grateful to God can almost be, you can almost worship God and eat, and I love the thought of that. if you have the right heart and you're grateful to him and you're thankful to him and you pray over the food, right? So the point is, you can't allow people to twist and turn things. Again, there are false teachers. Why do we keep pounding this? Because this is the book we're going through. This is where we're at. And this is what he's fighting against. He's fighting against false teachers. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. There are false teachers in the area. And I'm not saying that, saying we're the only one that's right. I don't believe that at all. I believe there's a ton of churches that are preaching Jesus. Don't mishear me here. But there are also some who are teaching everything's okay. Do whatever you want. Everybody's in. That is not scriptural. Again, I believe there are seminaries. There are universities. There are people teaching false. And again, if you don't know it, how in the world are you going to know the difference? They can twist it just a little bit and start getting you going down the slope. Cults, listen, cults, how they a lot of times are started, sometimes it's started out here and people pull away, but a lot of times it's started inside and they pull them off, right? And listen, again, they don't have to take and change all of it, they just change part. And what happens is in a lot of cults, a church done right, when people come in, I know it's overtime, but listen to me just a second. When people come in, a church done right is you're pointing people to Jesus and building them in Christ to follow him. Cults pull people away, right, to follow the leader, to corrupt the word and make it about the person, the leader, and they follow the leader. The reason we pound this so much is I want us to be solid on the truth. I want our children to be solid on the truth. We have to be intentional with teaching them and don't think it's going to come by osmosis or diffusion or whatever. I don't want to give the enemy an inch. I will stand up here and pound this week after week because I love you enough to tell you the truth. And the truth is, we got to know. Dig deeper. It's not always fireworks. Sometimes it takes effort to dig deeper so you know that what he's talking about, you can be solidly based so when the lies come, even if they look right, you know the truth. You've got to know the truth. Father God, may we be that church, solid in you. We ask it in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. If you will, please stand and turn to page 556.